On today's podcast, take 23. Two Yanks in Britain by the Everly Brothers and Love Is All Around by the Trocs.
Trust the Wizards present Robert Pollard's Guide to the Late 60s. Before going on tour with his band, Guided by Voices, in 2001, Robert Pollard recorded his favourite records onto 62 double-sided cassettes. Music from 1966 to 1971, from the best-known bands of the era to obscure, unheard-of psychedelic curios. The Wizards are on a mission to listen to and explore every groove. Kicker and Chorizo invite you to turn off your mind, relax, and float downstream as you listen to Robert Pollard's Guide to the Late 60s.
First of all, we're going to talk about the Everly Brothers album, Two Yanks in England, which was recorded quite quickly in May and June 1966, and was released quite quickly after that in July 1966. About half of the album was recorded in England, in Decca Studios in West Hampstead, with basically the Hollies playing most of the instruments, with future Led Zeppelin members and at the time session musicians Jimmy Page on guitar and John Paul Jones on bass. And then the other half of the album was recorded in California with the Wrecking Crew, Larry Nextel and all, and Glenn Campbell and all those people who played on so many hundreds of records, including Pet Sounds and Beach Boys records that we've talked about on this podcast before. It was an attempt to kind of get the Everly Brothers back in vogue. Post the British invasion years, they'd struggled really to have any commercial success. Quite a lot of the tracks were written by the Hollies and had been already recorded by the Hollies in various guises. As usual, the lineup for the Everly Brothers is Don Everly. Isaac Everly. Is his real name Isaac?
Yeah.
Okay. But Don, a.k.a. Isaac Everly, usually standing on the right with the black hair, sings the lower part usually. And Phil usually stands on the left, has lighter hair, and usually sings the higher harmony.
And he's actually called Philip.
Yes. Okay. You're happy with the Everly Brothers rather than just Everly Brothers?
Certainly on this album. I don't know if they appear as Everly Brothers elsewhere, but yes, I'm happy with this album being the Everly Brothers, certainly.
Okay. It wasn't really that much of a success in terms of kind of getting them back up in the charts. There's some songs on there that were already hits for other bands. There's like Pretty Flamingo by Manfred Mann, and some other songs that were written by old associates of the Everly Brothers, like Sonny Curtis, who wrote I Fought the Law, and wrote probably my favourite Everly Brothers song of all, Walk Right Back, and he's co-written a song called The Collector with them. But like I say, most of the songs written by the Hollies.
When you say written by the Hollies, I think they're all credited to L. Ransford.
Really?
Yeah, so, I mean, it is Alan Clark, Tony Hicks and Graham Nash, but it's been credited to them as under the pseudonym of L. Ransford. I don't know what L. Ransford means or how it links to the Hollies or whether it's their names or initials or an anagram or what. But, yeah, on the record itself, that's how it's all...
It does sound a bit like an anagram, doesn't it? But there's no F in any of those Hollies names, so... Yeah. Okay, I'm sure there's rhyme and reason to it. You know, it starts off with... A song that had already been a hit for the Spencer Davis Group and had already been a hit for Jackie Edwards, who wrote both that one and Keep On Running for Spencer Davis Group. Both their two number ones were written by Jackie Edwards, a reggae singer. It's a song that I already knew and liked, and it's very rare. I wanted to mention that one straight at the top because it's very rare that you hear a cover version of a song that you already like and then you hear a cover and you like that one even more.
I totally agree. It's a bit faster, isn't it?
Yeah, it's got a bit more punch.
Yeah, and the fuzz guitar on it is really good. I think the drums are really high in the mix. I totally agree. I think it's a better version of an already great song.
And it, and we've what we what I'm probably going to say straight at the top here is obviously we I don't need to say for every single one of these Everly Brothers song that the singing is great. You know, yeah. It is at the end of the day the Everly Brothers, probably the greatest two part harmony group in the history of recorded music. And
well, that's interesting.
In my opinion,
you're putting them, you're putting them above Simon and Garfunkel then from last
time. Oh yes,
now.
Oh yes.
but who else are they up against then as a two-part harmony group?
Well, Lennon and McCartney, I suppose. Although
well, there are four people there.
Yeah, but very rarely four of them singing in harmony. Sometimes three of them singing in harmony, but an awful lot of the time, two of them singing in harmony. The Proclaimers. You know, there's all kinds of people that do it, aren't there? Not just brothers as well.
although that's all you can think of.
Yeah. Yeah, but
so Oasis, they're better than Oasis, is that what you're saying?
Oasis don't sing in two-part harmony very much. And
but they're brothers, though, aren't they?
They are. But of course they're better than Oasis. What a stupid question.
Good, well, I'm glad we clarified that. Yeah, no, it's a really strong start, isn't it? I really like that song. Yeah, probably my favourite. It's not my favourite Holly's song, but it's my favourite song on this album, I think.
Yeah, and it's the other song that I already knew was Pretty Flamingo, which is a song by when the Manfred Mann version. I adore, I love that song.
Do you particularly like the recorder on the original one?
Yeah, I love the whole thing. And I don't think this version is quite as good at that, but it's a very high benchmark. But with the part in the Manfred Mann version where it transitions into that ascending melody line and goes, when she walks by, it's really, really good on the Manfred Mann version. And this it doesn't quite hit as hard on this version, but it's still great because it's a song I love and it's been sung by the Everly Brothers.
Yeah, that's the great thing, isn't it, is that they've got the voices and actually they've got the songs as well because probably my favourite Holly's song is Don't Run and Hide. I don't like this as much as the Hollies one, but it's still great. It's a real banger of a song, that.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the harmonica on the Hollies one probably pushes it above it, but the guitar is great. Obviously, the vocals are great. It was really nice to hear it because I don't often listen to the Hollies, and so this was a reminder of how good they certainly were.
Yeah. I have to say I don't know any of these songs from the Hollies versions, I don't think. Another song I thought I knew because I saw the song title there, first song on side two, I've Been Wrong Before. And I thought it was going to be the Dusty Springfield song that Randy Newman wrote and that Elvis Costello covered in the early 90s. And I love both Dusty's and Elvis's versions of that song. And I was really looking forward to hearing the Everlys have a go at it. But it's a completely different song, much more up-tempo. Sounds a bit like Buddy on the Crickets. Doesn't sound anything like the ballad that Dusty Springfield and Elvis Costello does, but I like it very much. Very, very, very good. Yeah.
It reminds me a little bit more of the Kinks, actually. There's sort of the riff in it, anyway.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, yeah. And there's a few other faster rockabilly ones that I really liked. There's a song on side one, Kiss Your Man Goodbye, which is one of the songs they recorded in California rather than in London. And it's a bit more rockabilly and a bit country. And the riff is quite Scotty Moore, crossed with This Could Be the Last Time. And it's, you know, they had three amazing guitarists on those sessions, James Burton, Glenn Campbell and Al Casey. I'm not quite sure which one of those three legends of session musician guitarists were playing on that one, but whoever it was, they did a great job.
Well, I particularly like the fact that sort of the guitar is quite clangy.
Yeah, yeah.
Which it kind of reminded me, well, put me in mind at least of Dylan turning electric. So that was the band, wasn't it?
Yes.
That sort of sound.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. I really like that one.
Yeah. So unfortunately for me, the quality isn't quite consistent throughout. There's some great songs on it that I'll definitely go back and listen to again. But there's two or three that I probably won't go back and listen to. Well, I didn't like at all. Shall I tell you which ones they were?
Yeah.
Do you want to have a guess?
Well, I don't particularly care for The Collector.
Yeah. I was disappointed because that is Sonny Curtis, who, as I mentioned before, wrote Walk Right Back. He wrote I Fought the Law. He was in The Crickets. It starts off being about a lepidopterist. I'm a collector of beautiful things. I capture and keep them and pin down their wings. Red butterflies, green dragons, dragonflies, pretty blue beetles. But then it gradually starts to sound a bit more sinister because the lyrics say, but she will be my most precious prize. Yeah. I'm a collector of beautiful things. I capture and keep them. It ends up sounding like he's holding someone captive in his basement. Silence of the Lambs.
That could just be your mind, of course.
No longer free. She begs to be free with no one to help her. She'll learn to care depending on me.
Yeah, maybe it's not just you.
Okay, back away slowly from the strange man. It's also not a particularly memorable tune, that one. Fifi the Flea.
Yeah.
Discuss.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a bit silly, isn't it? It seems to be one of those sort of very silly 60s songs. I know it by the Hollies, and theirs isn't quite as irritating in some ways because I think it's a bit more knowing of its silliness, whereas this is kind of done quite sincerely, and I think it's a mistake.
I
don't really like that one either.
I mean, it's about a flea who falls in love with a clown from a flea circus fair. And then one day he loses her. You know, it's the old story. Clown meets flea. Clown falls in love with flea. Clown loses flea. Now it's a stupid song. It's weird, and it really doesn't fit with the rest of the album.
I don't think we should focus on the negatives, really, because I think it's a funny album because I'm absolutely happy to listen to it, and I don't really want to skip anything, but it's not. It doesn't stand out. But apart from two or three songs, we thought, "Oh, that's really good." It's just kind of fine, and I wonder if that's because, yes, they're very proficient, but there's something about a cover version that has to go quite a long way to make it better, even if you don't really know the songs, I suppose. I don't know, but I do like "Signs That Will Never Change." And I thought that was a good one. I particularly like the fact that they dropped their H's on that. That makes them sound very English, I thought. And I like the last song as well, "Hard Hard Year." I think that's that could almost be a Walker Brothers song in terms of the feel of it, I think.
"Hard Hard Year." I like the distorted electric guitar solo that doesn't really fit with the rest of the song on that.
And actually, talking of electric guitar solos on that song, I should say that Bevis Frond do a really good version of that.
Yeah,
as you can imagine, the guitar solo goes on for quite some time.
Yeah, I really like that one as well. Like the two songs, "The Collector" and "Fifi the Flea," and I got to say, I didn't particularly enjoy "Signs That Will Never Change." The singing is great, the harmonies are absolutely wonderful, but the song itself was a bit forgettable for me. But everything else on it, I liked a lot. Like "Every Time Before" on side one has another good guitar solo. A bit of a Latin feel to the melody. It reminds me a bit of "And I Love Her" by the Beatles. Catchy tune. Only one Everly. Yeah. Only one of the Everlys on it, though. I liked all of it, really. All of the album, apart from my advice to the Everly Brothers.
Yeah, should they be listening?
Yeah, would be they should avoid songs which are about insects or have got quite a lot of mention of insects, because the worst songs on here are "Collector," which has got about beetles and butterflies in it, and "Fifi the Flea."
Yeah.
So both of those songs have got quite a lot of mention of insects. So stay away from songs about invertebrates and stick with songs...
Would you say that the other songs don't mention insects?
Well, the ones that do mention vertebrates are much better, like birds in Pretty Flamingo or Bird Dog, or mammals, like in Bird Dog.
Yeah, well, I think that's really useful stuff. And while we do have their ear, perhaps I would like to credit them with their sleeve notes. Well, I've got a copy of the album. I don't know if it's actually the original copy of the back of the album, but it says at the top. It says, "Where it's happening, the Everly Brothers are happening." And then it says "Two Yanks in England." It's got the list of the songs, and then it has what they describe as the new guide to London town, and it tells you where you should go. So it tells you should go to Lord John Boutique if you're interested in menswear, and you should go to Sibylla's for your disco, and then it says for birds wear, which I'm not sure about that, but anyway, for birds wear you should go to the Banner, which is on in Brompton. I don't know if it's still there. Anyway, I could go on, but the thing that particularly amused me was that it's suggested that for wedded bliss, you should go to Ashley Marriage Bureau, which is on Corporation Street. Now, do you know where Corporation Street is?
No.
It's in Manchester.
Ah, okay. And, not in London.
And so I would say for the Everly Brothers, I mean, it says 10 Corporation Street, Manchester 4. And it says, a bit out of town, but marriage is a big deal. Well, you know, a bit out of town is perhaps underselling the drive from London to Manchester. But there you go. I thought that was rather sweet that they thought Manchester is a suburb of London.
Yeah, and isn't there... I've seen a picture of this. Isn't there a bit about gambling on there as well?
Let me have a look. Yes, for gambling, legal, yes. Go to legal gambling as opposed to illegal. Go to the Clermont on Berkeley Square. Unlimited stakes at Chemin de Fer. I don't know what that really means. What does Chemin de Fer mean? Something.
Don't know.
High life and the jet set mix in Georgian splendour here. Easily the poshest craps. Well, we've all done a posh crap, haven't we, in our time? But he's the poshest craps palace in the world. Right. But then it does point out that the croupiers all seem to be named Brian.
Ah, right.
Which undermines the poshness, I'd have thought.
When they say the poshest craps palace, that's not slang for a gent's toilet, is it? He means craps. He's talking about the dice game, isn't he?
I think
the dice game. And wasn't there something about a pub on there as well?
Let me see. For pubbing, yes. So the Thomas of Becket, that's a real pub, isn't it?
Sounds like it, yeah.
On Old Kent Road, is that still
the Old Kent Road? I don't know. This is the wrong end of London for me. I don't know.
Okay, so you're so tribal.
Yeah.
But it says entertainment by Ted and John, the Lion-O brothers. Pop art on John's drums. Mostly men, their women are home cooking. noisy and musical and not at all jetty. There you go.
Jetty. Oh, jet set. For the jet set. So quite the opposite of the gambling place.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So, any pub on the Old Kent Road, and I'm just picturing Jack the Hat McVitie, really.
Anyway, so we're getting a little bit away from the review of the music. Should we give them some scores?
We should. Just before we do, I just want to... One other thing for the listener. Me and my mate Jimmy have had a long-standing discussion over what is the best of ever. You know, who's got the best compilation album? And we stopped having this conversation some years ago when we were at his dad's house and we saw an album called The Very Best of the Everly Brothers on Warner Brothers from 1963, which we then decided, well, that's just put it all to rest, because here's the track listing. Bye Bye Love, Till I Kissed You, Wake Up Little Susie, Crying in the Rain, Walk Right Back, Caffey's Clown, Bird Dog, All I Have to Do Is Dream, Devoted to You, Lucille, So Sad to Watch Good Love Go Bad, and Ebony Eyes. Unbeatable.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'd say my comment to that would be, it's no human amusements at hourly rates, is it?
Well, of course not. Of course not. But, anyway, you want a mark out of 10, I suppose.
Yeah, go on.
I'm going to give it 6.5. It should be higher, possibly, but side two, and particularly Fifi the Flea and The Collector, don't really do it for me. Side one is much better. I really like Somebody Help Me. I really like Kiss Your Man Goodbye. I really like Plenty Flamingo. I've Been Wrong Before, and the last song, Hard, Hard Year.
Fair enough. Well, I'm going to give it slightly lower than that, because although I think it's a solid album, it doesn't excite me particularly. I'm going to give it a 6. Somebody Help Me, I think, is great, and Don't Run and Hide, I really like, and Hard, Hard Year would be my top three. And very pleasant, and, surprisingly rocky, I thought, for the Everly Brothers.
Yeah.
Okay, so shall we move on to the second album that we're going to talk about then? And this is a compilation, you'll be glad to know. This is a compilation of the Troggs. It's called Love Is All Around. It was only released in the US. It was released in 1968. And it's a collection mostly of singles, A-sides and B-sides, with a few album tracks. Looking at the first three Troggs albums, so From Nowhere, Troggler Dynamite and Cellophane. It's an interesting compilation because for me it doesn't include the best Troggs songs which are, in my opinion, With a Girl Like You and Wild Thing, possibly Lost Girl as well. None of those are on it, and Hi Hi Hazel's not on it either. But nevertheless, I think it's an interesting listen. And it features, of course, Reg Presley on vocals, Ronnie Bond on drums, Pete Staples on bass, and Chris Britton on guitar. The Trogs were formerly known as the Troglodytes, formed in Andover, Hampshire, Andover Fist. And they had a number of huge hits in the 60s before this album came out, of course. Wild Thing was number two in the UK, number one in the US. With a Girl Like You was number one in the UK. I Can't Control Myself is on this album and was a number two hit in the UK. And Love Is All Around, which is obviously the song that's the compilation's named after, made number five in the UK, but only number seven in the US in 1967. So it's kind of them on their fade a little bit, and they do fade into complete obscurity. But they were huge before this compilation came out. And I think it's pretty good. It would be much better if you could replace a couple of the songs I'm not so keen on with the ones I really like. I think it would be right up there for compilations.
Yeah, my favourite Trog song, which is from their first album, is called Our Love Will Still Be There. And that's not on it as well. So And I also like With a Girl Like You and some of the ones you mentioned. Of course, the song and the name of the album that everybody will be familiar with, Love Is All Around, very familiar song, of course. I knew it first when REM covered it. But then the Wet, Wet, Wet version from the Four Weddings and a Funeral soundtrack was inescapable.
Ruined it.
It went to number one for 15 weeks. I've just got a quick quiz question for you. There's only two songs that have been number one for longer than that in the entire history of the UK pop charts. Would you like to tell me what either of them are?
Well, one of them must be that... what's his name? Is one letter more than somebody else who I quite like. I can't remember who his name is, but... Not I Would Do Anything For You, not that.
Yeah, like you're on the right track. You're thinking of Bryan Adams with his one letter more than Ryan Adams. Yes. Yeah. Everything I Do It For You. Yeah, that was 16 weeks in 1991.
Was it Bohemian Rhapsody as well?
No. This one is probably more your era, but possibly a bit before your time. Frankie Lane, I Believe, 18 weeks, 1953.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cheeky bastard.
Yeah, I mean, I don't massively dislike the Trogs version or the REM's version, but I've never been that keen on the song even before I got totally sick of it from hearing Wet, Wet, Wet's version.
I mean, it's pretty catchy, isn't it? But yeah. What I do like about it, I like the percussion on it. That sort of tick-tocky thing is really good. And I do think that they're a very interesting band, I think, the Trogs, the sound of the Trogs, because ultimately, I mean, overall, they're a bit creepy, I think. The sound is a little bit creepy. And almost sort of an evil underplot, something evil.
Yeah, I mean,
this song. This song is pretty tender and fairly naive, I think. So it doesn't really fit with everything else.
They seem to have got a bit of that. I mean, the next song, Night of the Long Grass, is a good example. It's got a bit of that New Orleans creepy voodoo. Dr. John kind of, and there's another song, Gonna Make You, which has got the Bo Diddley groove going on. And quite a lot of the time, they're basically just riffs, aren't they? Quite a few of the best songs on this album, and on the Trogs generally, are basically just a repeated riff. So it's all a bit primal. And I know what you mean. They do that kind of thing very, very well. They don't seem to do the... for me, the ballads don't really work. They're not...
I would say the weakest song on this compilation is Little Girl, which is, the slowy here, which is, you know, it's just boring, really.
Yeah.
And not really helped by the fact that it's got, a recorder on it, which is, But if you replace that with a Girl Like You or even Lost Girl, that would be much better. You're right. I think that they do have a sound, and when they do it, they do it well. I'd agree. I mean, Night of the Long Grass thing is pretty neat. You're fairly atmospheric and, as you said, quite eerie and mysterious. And the lyrics are a bit creepy too.
Yeah.
The riff on Gonna Make You is great, but the best part about that song, of course, is the scream that's halfway through it.
Well, there's screaming, kind of, not screaming, but kind of wailing backing vocals in the in the, low down in the mix on Light of the Long Grass as well. And it's basically just, you know, it's basically one riff with two chords, and then the chorus, it's a slightly different riff where they add in a third chord. But they're both really good riffs. You know, Any Way You Want Me basically just uses the Wildfing riff again.
Which is a good riff, let's face it.
Yes, of course, yeah. Just going back to Little Girl, I didn't particularly like the song, like you, but the lyrics were quite well put together because it's quite sad, I thought. It sounds like the singer has got his girlfriend pregnant and he wants to get married, but her mum was having none of it. And now there's a little girl being born who he could have built his world around. And, you know, if that's a true story, very sad. But, I can definitely hear on this album, more than some of the albums we've listened to recently on this podcast, I could definitely hear how the Troggs have influenced Guided by Voices, though. The recordings are a bit lo-fi. There's a lot of songs built around just simple riffs. And the songs are quite short quite a lot of the time.
Yes, I think that is fair, and I don't think that comes up very often as a GBV influence of Troggs, but I think you're absolutely right. And so it's kind of the simplicity of it, but also with, you know, there's proper songwriting at play here as well.
Yeah.
I can't control myself, which was a hit. I think it's great. I think I really like the ba 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 bit, the O now.
Yes.
Really catchy. I think I could imagine Pollard covering that. I would like to hear that.
It sounds like, I also, another good riff. The ba ba ba's are good. You can actually hear a bit of his West Country accent in the delivery there as well.
Yes.
Which was interesting. It sounds like The Who, first album Who to me. When they were doing more R&B stuff. And again, the song after that, Girl in Black, is also...
That's very Who-like, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It sounds... The Who, the Kinks, the band sound really good. Band just sound like... on quite a few of these songs, the band just sound like they're really together. They get a bit of a groove going. And for quite a lot of the songs, I just like the way the band sound when they're playing together.
Yeah, no, I think they probably were quite... The live act, I've no idea. I know they came back and did an album with REM, didn't they? Without Stipe, but Andover.
Athens Andover. It's the only Troggs record I own.
Did they tour it though? Did they play live?
I don't remember. Yeah. I don't remember. No. I bought the album at the time, listened to it a few times, didn't really make much of an impression on me, but I actually went dug it out this week and had another listen to it.
I listened to it. It's all right.
It's okay. It's okay. I'd rather listen to some of the better songs from this, to be honest. I remember being a bit disappointed with it at the time, and I was a bit disappointed with it when I gave it a listen a few days ago as well.
Fair enough. Another one I really like is Give It To Me. I like the vocals on that particularly, and there's a really good bass sound on that one. There's a kind of a call and response vocal thing going on there, which I really like.
Yeah, I also like that one. Again, the band's sounding really good. There's another good riff. It reminded me a bit of the glam rock earworm Gimme Some by Brendan. I don't know if you remember that from your youth. Gimme some, doo doo doo. Gimme some, doo doo.
What's he hoping to get?
It then goes on to say, gimme some of your sweet love, doo doo doo. Yeah, gimme some of So that's what it. Maybe I suspect that's what the Troggs are after when they're saying, give it to me.
Is that what they're after? We do know that actually, because it's give it to me, open brackets, all my love, close brackets.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So
it is definitely love related. Now then, Cousin Jane, I don't like that song at all. I think I'm partly put off because it's horrible. It's a horrible tale, isn't it about taking advantage of a female cousin?
I mean, is that kind of thing that goes on in Hampshire? I you know.
Well, I think it's a given, isn't it?
Yeah, Cousin Jane's come to stay again. Each night, I'm quoting the lyrics here. Each night, tiptoe across the landing, kiss her lips just as she's standing there, as she's standing there. And then later on, it says, each night I hold her until the morning. I see her take her place without yawning, so no one will ever know.
Exactly. Yeah. You see, I don't like the song at all.
That's the line that that makes it sound so no one will ever know. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Let's move on.
We don't like that one. But okay, just a couple of songs left that we haven't really mentioned yet, one of which is 6654321, which fits the Trogs template with the pretty neat riff and a pretty creepy lyric.
Yeah, he's talking about he has to sell his car, doesn't he, if they overdo it.
Is that what it's about?
No, he says if there's a number you can phone, and he tells it's 6654321. I'll be there, I'll be on my own. And then he says, someday we'll overdo it, someday we'll go too far. I'll get drained of all my money, and I'll have to sell my car.
I mean, I don't think that's necessarily mean the song's about selling his car, is it? It's about getting someone.
I think he wants to give it some of that sweet love again. It's no use pretending, baby. I'm feeling the same way too. So come on over to my place. There's so much that we can do. I don't think that's creepy. Yeah. I just think it's a phone. He wants her to ring him up and arrange to go around. He's going to drive around in his car while he can still afford to have one. And get some sweet loving. Yeah.
Sweet loving, all right.
It's and good. I love that one.
The last song we haven't mentioned is When Will the Rain Come, which sounds really like one of those sort of classic garage band songs from, you get on the Nuggets compilations. Like, I think it would fit really well onto that. And I think it's raised from the sort of fairly mundane sound to better than that because of the backing vocals. I really like them on that one.
Well, and the guitar part. The guitar part, which is a little bit painted black influenced, I quite liked as well. But yeah, 6654321, definitely one of my favourites on the album.
There's some pretty good stuff on it, but I think it could have been a much better album if they'd included my favourites. Well, I can't believe they didn't ask me. There was no consultation.
Yeah.
I mean, would you rather have heard Wild Thing again or Love Is All Around again?
Yeah, or like I said, Our Love Will Still Be There, or quite a few other better Trog songs from their early days. Yeah. You could make a really good Trogs compilation, couldn't you, with what, 12 songs or whatever this has got. This is not it. A few good songs. It's got maybe three really good songs, in my opinion. Night of the Long Grass, Girl in Black, and 6654321. And it's got another bunch of okay songs, and it's got some ones that are pretty forgettable.
Well, it's interesting. I would agree that there are three really good songs, but I'd have chosen three different ones.
Oh, go ahead.
So the three that I really like are Any Way That You Want Me, and I Can't Control Myself, particularly that's my favourite on it, and Give It To Me. So if we put our three favourites in, that's six. That's half a record, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But overall, there's not enough there for me to give it much of a high score.
Oh, dear. What are you going with?
I'm going with five.
Ooh, which that's is a bit tight, isn't it?
Well, like I say, there's a lot of it that wasn't all that great.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to give it a six.
Yeah.
So I thought it's an album that I would play again. I have played again. It's all right, but it's not. I think, as you say, we could probably come up with a better compilation. But
Maybe we should add a Spotify playlist of maybe 12 best Trog songs onto the blog post to accompany this.
Let's see if we do remember to do that.
Yes.
All right, so that's the end of our chat about tape 23. Coming up next, of course, would therefore be tape 24.
Indeed.
We're really getting through these, we're nearly halfway.
Hey.
So we've only spent 2 years getting in, haven't we?
So what's anyway, tape 24 hold in store?
Well, tape 24 has The Action, Roll Gold, which is a great album, and then most of the members of The Action then became Mighty Baby, and we're going to listen to their Egyptian Tomb album, which is the same thing as the self-titled one. I think it's a re-released version, but it's the same thing.
Robert Pollard's Guide to the Late 60s is a Trust the Wizards production. You can find out more at pollard60s.com and on Twitter at pollard60s. If you liked it, then please subscribe and review wherever you get your podcasts. You may also enjoy their other podcast, which you can find at trustthewizards.com. Original music by the Malibu Storks. Kika Revels and Chorizo Garbanzo are currently appearing in Waiting for Godot at the Mail Theatre in Leeds.